My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns Podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. Jay, finally, after almost 3 weeks, we finally got a conclusion to the L'Jarius Sneed trade saga of the offseason. And he has now been traded to the Tennessee Titans for a 2025 third round pick and a pick swap for 2024 in the seventh round, which means that the Chiefs now, pending physical and all of that, and the completion of the trade, will be picking with the first pick in the seventh round in next month's draft.
Yeah, Albert Breer said it's the first of the three seventh round picks for Tennessee. They don't have a sixth round pick, so this would essentially be the first pick of the seventh. So it's almost like having a sixth rounder. This actually, Chiefs do well in the seventh round. Nick Allegretti, by the way, now an NFL starter with Washington, picked in the seventh round. Isaiah Pacheco, seventh round pick.
Jalen Watson, seventh round pick.
Jalen Watson. I mean, the Chiefs do damage in the seventh round. They look at it as guys that can contribute to the team, and I like that. Maybe not what they wanted. Of course, when people are listening to this on Saturday morning, he's doing his physical on Monday afternoon.
Right. He'll pass it.
He'll pass it. They'll make sure. But not saying the need's not bad, though. That's the thing. And people are worried about the compensation the Chiefs got for it. But the market dictated what the market dictated. I do think the Colts were heavily involved, but I think they backed away with the long-term contract deal. Hey, Sneed's going to be great, I think, for the next 2 years. But what's going to happen the final 2 years? Is someone going to owe $38 million and have him play for 2 years? It's tough. He did miss most of training camp, if not all of it. You remember training camp? It was L'Jarius Sneed.
A whole lot of knees.
Hey, he played well. You know, he did his deal. He stepped in and played. And I remember him being out on a Friday practice one time. Didn't practice. Andy Reid doesn't play you, but they needed him. And Sneed was extremely valuable. I do think Shamari Connor, when they traded up to grab Shamari Connor in the fourth last year, that they looked at that and envisioned as maybe a L'Jarius Sneed replacement.
So, signed a 4-year, $76 million deal. $55 million, that is guaranteed. $19 million AAV for the contract. So, it's not quite what he was hoping to get. He was hoping to get over $20 million, somewhere in that 21, 22 a year range. So, bit of a disappointment there on his end, not getting quite the money he wanted. But still, $19 million a year, $55 million guaranteed.
Jalen Johnson type money.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great number.
Top paid corner's like $21 million. He's close.
Yeah.
He's got the long-term deal.
So, here's the interesting thing about it. First and foremost, there's been the reaction from Chiefs fans, which has been a negative one for the most part. A lot of Chiefs fans felt like the Chiefs could have got more compensation for that, and so there's a lot of people mad at Brett Veach about it. And here's my take on that. I think a lot of people got spoiled by the Tyreek Hill trade, and they looked at it and they saw the Chiefs trade one of the best receivers in the league, and they got five picks out of it. You know, first, second, and a third in 2022. And then in 23, they got, a 4 and a 7, I think? So they got five picks. I'm going to tell you this right now. That was a terrible trade for the Dolphins. Like, yeah, the Dolphins have been successful. They've made the playoffs and whatnot, but they haven't won a playoff game in those 2 years. They haven't really competed for a championship. And, you know, Tyreek Hill, 2 years in, good numbers, nothing to really show for it.
And they're losing defensive pieces left and right. So I can't even, like last year,
and I got to pay
Tua and think, okay, they're going to take steps. Well, next year, I'm looking at a division. I mean, Buffalo got rid of a lot of people. Buffalo's still going to compete for that division.
Yeah.
And who knows with Gerard Mayo in New England, are they going to compete in the division too? And the Jets, with the healthy Aaron Rodgers and Mike Williams there now, are they going to be a piece
maybe.
Of this fixture? So
maybe,
Miami Dolphins, you look at them and think, okay, maybe they're not the top anymore. So they were taking steps and they fall off. I think Houston's replaced them in the hierarchy of the AFC. I'm looking at what they're doing to D'Amico Ryan. I think he should have been coach of the year. Kevin Stefanski won it. Shouldn't have. And obviously we saw why in the playoffs, even though the voting was already in, because D'Amico hammered him in the playoffs. But I would put them there. And yes, you're right. It didn't work. Did it work out for the Chiefs? Not well, they got two Super Bowls since. So
it didn't work out. My thing is this. Like, I think a lot of people assumed that we would get the kind of compensation that we got for Tyreek. And then even the offers, I mean, you were hearing somewhere between one first round to third round. First round to me never seemed like a possibility. Second round, as the weeks went by, seemed less of a possibility. It would have been nice to get a second round pick for Snead. But second round is just, that's a lot for a guy who you then have to pay and has had knee issues for 2 years now. And
perfectly healthy, I think you do get a first rounder, if not early second.
I think you probably get a second. I think you probably get like an early to mid second. But I don't think you were going to get a first. And I think second, with the knee issues really kind of getting out there and the fact that this was taking so long, that's going to lower the draft pick compensation, because the longer you go into free agency, the harder it is to get that big deal, because teams are signing those big time money deals early in free agency. Beginning of the tampering period. And we're talking about almost the end of March when this deal got done. It was never really a realistic expectation to expect the Chiefs to be able to get maximum compensation this late. By the time the NCAA tournament started, it was over. Like, it was too late to get that kind of compensation we were hoping for.
You just need open bidding. Detroit was supposedly interested. The Colts were really interested, I do believe.
I think so too.
I think
the number was too high.
But then all of a sudden, the stuff you started to hear was work on that long-term deal, work on that contract. Now, supposedly this is done on the 12th. It finally got done. Tennessee, you didn't have the bidders that you wanted. You wanted a bidding war for L'Jarius Sneed. He's put up the next-gen stats to be there. He's put up the stats against number one wide receivers. But you got to trust the knee, and then you always have to look at the back end of the contract. Can you get out of it? Can you get out of the deal? What's the guaranteed money like with L'Jarius Sneed? Those are the things you have to think about. And again, the Chiefs don't have the money to pay everybody. They can't do it. They made a choice between Chris Jones to give that second contract to. Chiefs backed off a lot, like you saw the New England Patriots back off in the past with a Ty Law, somebody like that, or Edgerrin James with the Colts. They back up even though they gave him the second contract. The Chiefs have been smart with what they're doing. You got to pay Mahomes his money. You have other contracts coming up like Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith and Nick Bolton. And again, you have to decide on who you want to keep. They love defensive backs. Steve Spagnuolo is a big part when they bring in the top 30 visits. Dave Merritt's a part of the top 30 visits. When they bring guys in, they've had extreme success at that defensive back position. And again, I think Shamari Connor was picked, obviously, for thinking long-term with L'Jarius Sneed.
Yeah, I honestly don't think the Sneed was ever really considered for a long-term deal. I think the most they were going to do was keep him for the tag year and then, you know, figure things out. But what this trade tells me, the compensation tells me, is I don't think the Chiefs were really that serious about keeping him on the tag. Like, when you're trading him for a third round pick in next year's draft, that tells me you were pretty motivated to get him off of your roster so you could clear that cap space. Like, they could very, very well have just kept him for the year, because he's going to be off your books anyways going into the 25 offseason. But I think they were really motivated to get him off of their roster during the 24 offseason, because maybe they got some other moves they want to make, or maybe there's an extension they want to do, or maybe they want to give one of their players some more money. Like, I can see them taking some of that money they just saved and maybe giving some to Kelsey, reworking his deal or something to make him a little bit happier. There's options that they have here, but the way that I saw it when that news broke, 2025 third round pick for the Titans and a pick swap seventh round pick for this year, it immediately told me that the Chiefs were pretty motivated to get a deal done, because there's something else in the works.
Well, who knows what they're doing? I do expect that they probably expected to have some sort of a bidding war. And I know how the franchise tag sets up. It's set up to keep the player in your city. It's the way they have it. But, you know, Florio's getting on a bunch about this. But the bottom line is...
Sounds like everything he does.
But the bottom line is...
Everything the Chiefs do, he gets mad about.
It's legal for the Chiefs to do, so they're doing it. They're taking advantage of what's there. Not only that, they've got a fail-proof. Like, if things fall through, say he didn't pass a physical at Tennessee, they have a corner now. For next year, even though he'll probably pass it, they'll find a way to pass it. They didn't get the bidding war that they thought. And, you know, this happens. Brian Burns, L'Jarius Sneed, these type of things do happen in the NFL, and the Chiefs just preparing for the future. You can't put all your eggs in one basket. You still have to. They made a decision between Chris Jones and L'Jarius Sneed. Hey, I know the value of L'Jarius Sneed. I love the way the guy plays. He means so much to the Chiefs and the Chiefs defense. But they valued Chris Jones going forward. They thought that he was more of the catalyst that could help the secondary. You had to have a pass rush, which they've had. They were just a couple sacks short of the team record of 60 sacks back in 1990. So they've been number two in the NFL in sacks the last 2 years, and I think they value that. I think they realized that, hey, that makes the secondary better. You can get by with, you know, later-round picks if you have a pass rush like the Chiefs have had. That is a very big part of what the Chiefs do. Hey, L'Jarius Sneed is a big part of them winning the Super Bowl. No question about it, he is. But they're just making a business decision going forward. And if things didn't work out, they were going to keep a corner. They were going to keep L'Jarius Sneed for next year if things didn't work out. And maybe they could have. They didn't work out. I mean, the Colts were really high on L'Jarius Sneed.
I think another interesting thing about this is it kind of goes back to what we talked about last week. And I brought up the fact that Sneed is kind of one of those guys that not very many teams could properly use. You look at like the Bills. You know, the Bills were not a team that you heard linked to him. And even though they're purging their roster and, you know, creating cap space, they didn't make a play for him. Why? Because they can't use him the same way that the Chiefs do. They're not that kind of team. They're not going to go out and spend the kind of money to go get a guy who is more of a man cover guy and they play most large majority zone. They're not going to be able to use him the same way. The Bengals aren't going to be able to use him the same way. There's very few teams that can use him the same way. So you look at that aspect, and it just tells me that that is going to hurt the market for him, because if you can't optimize a player, then what's the point of going out there and spending massive compensation from the draft and then salary cap capital in order to get him on your roster, and then you can't maximize him the same way his last team did? There's just not that many teams that can go out there and get the kind of usage from Sneed that the Chiefs could, because their scheme doesn't match the strengths that Sneed presents on the field. And so I think that also as well hurt his ability to get the kind of compensation for the Chiefs that I think fans were hoping. And just because a lot of those teams are looking at it and was like, man, do we really want to pay $20+ million to a guy that is a man cover guy, but we play a large majority zone? Yeah, I have my doubts. I had my doubts about that as it went along, that, you know, he was a match for enough teams to where that market was going to be pushed up there. So, I mean, it sucks. They got a 25 third round pick as opposed to a third round pick in 24 that they could use right now or in a month. But I mean, this is what the market dictated. And, you know, I think at this point you feel lucky you got anything for him, considering that I think we all expected him to leave and they get nothing for him except maybe a compensatory pick.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Might trade up, use that pick to trade up. Who knows?
Very possible.
Package that with the first round. They could
and,
do it.
And we'll talk about that more later.
But where
on.
They're picking, I mean, the Chiefs don't pick in great spots. It will be before the comp picks. It won't be sitting at the end of the round like they are in the first and second. But the Chiefs, where they finish, I do think dictates trade value with this team because of where you're getting the pick.
Yeah, I think that there's, and like I said, we'll go more into trades and into trades later on in the show because there's a lot of trade speculation that's happening right now for the Chiefs now that this deal is kind of exploded. But yeah, I mean, it's. I'm happy for Snead getting his money. I don't think going into the year we expected Snead to be as good of a player as he ended up being. We knew he's a good player, but like not that good. Like that was a genuine surprise for us. And on top of that, I don't think we expected to be able to get even this kind of compensation for him going into the year. And now you are able to get a future third round pick. You are able to kind of clear your books now. They drafted three corners in 2022 for a reason, because they probably thought, hey, Snead's probably gone. And Snead never played at the level that he played at last year, up until last year.
So. No, and he had a lot of penalties. I think most penalties of anybody in the defensive back. But the guy played well. I'll give him that.
It was a Snead tax. But, it was going to happen.
But the bottom line is, they had five rookie defensive backs in that Super Bowl against the Eagles. Five of them. The Fab Five. Nazi Johnson gets hurt this year, going to be back next year. The Shamari Connor gives you that blitzing role like Snead's wants. Snead's fit in perfectly with Spags. Like, he utilized the best of LeJarius Snead, and other teams don't have Spags to go with him. That is a major, major catalyst for what LeJarius Snead is.
Most teams don't have the pass rush to maximize that man coverage that he runs. Most teams don't have the linebacking core that can play in coverage and play the run the way that the Chiefs do. I mean, there's a lot of things that teams aren't going to be able to replicate that the Chiefs do, even when they have Snead. So it's like I said, I look at it and I'm just like, to me, he was most valuable to the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are
matters.
We got to make a choice between Jones and Snead, and we think that Jones is the better long-term investment, and I'm not mad at him for that.
Gives him the pass rush capability, does a lot of things, makes Nick Bolton better, makes the linebackers better, gets to the quarterback, all the pressures that he's had in the last 5 years, better than anybody. He's the best defensive tackle in the NFL. Now, are they going to have to wait on it the last couple of years? They can get out of the contract for Chris Jones.
So let's get into the mock draft roundup. Over the last month, I compiled where all the mock drafters out there for various publications had the Chiefs going in the first round. I think this will change now that the Snead trade has happened, because I think there's going to be probably a little bit more people trying to get a little sexy and taking corners for the Chiefs in the first round.
Some more Kool-Aid McKinstry or Wiggins slides.
I don't think Wiggins slides that far.
I don't either.
I think that there's going
to
be
some people. He was mocked to the Chiefs so early on.
Yes, he was. It was. I think there will be some people that are going to start picking corner a little bit more for the Chiefs, just because they don't know how deep the Chiefs are at corner. But starting out here, the Draft Network, Jamie Eisner is the one that did the draft. Here's the Chiefs taking Keon Coleman, wide receiver, Florida State. Almost all these picks are at 32. One person had the Chiefs trading up to 19 with the Rams. But yeah, starting out, Jamie Eisner from the Draft Network had Keon Coleman, wide receiver, Florida State. John Dillon from Chiefs Wires had the Chiefs taking A.D. Mitchell from Texas, which, you know, is a guy that me and you both would love to see playing in red and gold this fall. Tankathon, A.D. Mitchell as well. NFL Spin Zone, which is Lou Scataglia, has Xavier Worthy, wide receiver out of Texas, a teammate of A.D. Mitchell. Steve Serby from the New York Post has A.D. Mitchell. Andrew Buller-Russ from Sports Not has them taking A.D. Mitchell. Robert Lorge from Roto Baller has Amarius Mims, the right tackle for Georgia. Chad Reuter from NFL.com has them trading up to 19 with the Rams and taking Xavier Worthy. Tom Fornelli from CBS has them taking Tyler Guyton, the right tackle from Oklahoma. Andrew Erickson for Fantasy Pros has them taking wide receiver Troy Franklin from Oregon. Draft Tech has the Chiefs taking Xavier Worthy. Touchdown Wire, which is Alyssa Barbieri, she's the one that did this, has them taking Kool-Aid McKinstry at 32. So I think this is going to be the start of those cornerback picks that that we're seeing there. Yahoo Sports has them taking left tackle Patrick Paul from Houston. Mel Kiper Jr. finally put out a mock, and he has them taking A.D. Mitchell in the first round. Ryan Wilson from CBS, Keon Coleman, Florida State. Marcus Mosher from the 33rd team has them taking Tyler Guyton, right tackle, Oklahoma. The Score has them taking Amarius Mims. Thor Nystrom, guy that we talked to last year in the lead up to last year's draft.
He was on my show last week. Thor's a great draft source.
Yeah, he's a very good draft source. From Fantasy Pros, he has them taking Jordan Morgan, left tackle out of Arizona. Trevor Sikkema from PFF has them taking Tyler Guyton. Brian Bussarge from Draft Countdown has them taking Xavier Worthy. Connor Rogers, Jordan Morgan again from, he's from NBC Sports, has them taking Jordan Morgan. Ryan Fowler from the Draft Network. Roman Wilson, wide receiver Michigan. That's a little surprise. I think Roman Wilson's probably a second or third round pick after that 40 time didn't quite turn out to be what a lot of people thought it might be. Logan Ulrich from NFL Trade Rumors has them taking Amarius Mims. Kyle Stackpole from CBS has them taking Darius Robinson, defensive tackle Mizzou, which I think is a little bit less likely now that Chris Jones is back. Then you have DraftWire. Kurt Popejoy has them taking Jordan Morgan. James Mesh from ESPN. Olu Fashanu, left tackle Penn State, which is honestly shocking because I don't think that Olu is going to drop that far. If he did, he would be the only guy, aside from Darius Robinson, I'd be cool with him taking that's a non-receiver in the first round. Like, Olu, I think, would be excellent value. He would be like, it'd be like George Karloftis 2 years ago when he was being mocked at 30 by one guy at CBS to the Chiefs. And I think both of us were like, yeah, no way that happens. Yeah, this is a no way that happens, but if it happens, you might even trade up to go get Olu just to make sure that you get that position scored.
There's some offensive tackles here, but the one thing we have to worry about is most of these guys are right tackles.
Right tackles.
And Jordan Morgan, and I know this is silly, but his arms are like 32 7/8.
Yeah. So
Andy Reid likes 34 1/4 is what he's been. That's
he's
average.
Been at, but he generally it's minimum 30.
If not guard, Jordan Morgan's guard, then you know where Trey Smith's gonna hit up if they go Jordan Morgan.
Yeah, and so Touchdown Wire, Doug Farrar, guy who's worked for so many publications, A.D. Mitchell from Texas. Up Rocks, A.D. Mitchell from Texas. Kyle Dvorak from NBC Sports, Xavier Worthy. The Ringer, Benjamin Solak, a good follow on Twitter, Jordan Morgan. Josh Edwards from CBS, Keon Coleman. Chris Trapasso from CBS, A.D. Mitchell. Garrett Podell from CBS, Xavier Worthy. Michael Middlehurst Schwartz from USA Today, Ladd McConkey, wide receiver, Georgia. Fox Sports also has them taking Ladd McConkey. Connor Livesay from 33rd Team also has them taking Ladd McConkey. For the win, this is Christian D'Andrea, has them taking Xavier Worthy. And then finally, Dalton Wasserman from PFF has them taking Ladd McConkey. So just quick breakdown here. Of the 40 picks I've just named that have been mocked for the Chiefs, 26 of them are wide receiver, 6 of them are right tackle, 6 of them are left tackle, 1 defensive tackle, 1 cornerback. So, and again, this is over the past month. All of these are, and not even really the past month, really the last 2 weeks.
Post-combine.
These are post-combine. These are post the start of free agency. And it's still overwhelmingly wide receiver. Most of these were after the Hollywood Brown signing. So the consensus is still wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's a lot more A.D. Mitchell. That kind of led the way with 10.
Very much, yeah.
Ladd McConkey was, 4. Was 4. Xavier Worthy, 7. And you see some of that, like Daniel Jeremiah putting on there. And I agree with it. I'm thinking, okay, a lot of people saying, okay, this is a Hollywood Brown signing. Like Xavier Worthy is Hollywood Brown. They're both smaller.
He's basically a very similar type, a Tyreek Hill type, guys like that.
Hollywood Brown was 166 pounds at the combine. Now he's up about 175, 180 now.
Yeah.
Xavier Worthy was 165 at the combine.
Yeah. I expect Xavier he probably Worthy's puts on taller, 5, 10 pounds.
But here's the one thing with Keon Coleman, and I think he's interesting. This is somebody we certainly slated as a first-round pick going forward, coming out of the season. Now, which direction are you going? And I think Keon Coleman brings up some good things. And you think Puka. All right, Puka was, you know, mid-four fives was his 40 time. Keon Coleman was last in the wide receiver group at 4.61. Should that be a concern? Well, the gauntlet is what they run to, and they always wire these guys up at the combine and for next-gen stats. He was the fastest receiver in the last 2 years on the gauntlet, which is running sideline to sideline, catching the football in both directions. Faster. He was faster than Puka. Puka was the fastest last year. Keon was even faster than that this year. And then you look at the vertical times. He was second fastest in vertical times, averaging over 20 miles an hour. So the hard data would say Keon Coleman is very Puka-like in his short, you know, speed, burst, and things like that. And if you go by that, because these are the stats that people are going with now a lot of times, do you disregard the 40 and look at it? And some guys have run faster 40s at their pro day. We saw Audric Estime, the running back, run a lot better.
Yeah.
We run a lot
it
better.
Was terrible at the combine.
At the combine was terrible, but it was like a 4.71.
I think it was like it might have been 4.71.
It was like 4.57, something like that at his pro day.
Much better.
So much better as pro day. And you think, okay, it's pro day. School. And
so you got to be careful about those numbers.
You got to be careful with the pro day numbers. But it was better. But Keon Coleman, you look at the burst, he was over 20 miles an hour, over 21 miles an hour. So he's fastest receiver last 2 years on the gauntlet, meaning he's great at running and catching, which is a skill you need in the National Football League. So you can look at the raw data and think, okay, is that more important? It was more important last year with Puka, right? He ended up as the best receiver in history as far as yards and reception for rookies joining the NFL. Do you go by that, or do you go by the 40 time?
So here's the thing I think is interesting is, like, for Keon, the issue is not so much whether or not he's going to be good, it's whether or not he's a fit for what the Chiefs need. Keon Coleman's not a deep threat. He is a catch and run guy, and he will not be a deep threat for the Chiefs. So you already have a catch and run guy with Rashee. Do you need another one, or do you want to go get the deep threat guy that can stretch the defense and open things up for the guys underneath?
Would you Xavier Worthy, if you say, hey, we're going to take Xavier Worthy, I don't care, you have Hollywood Brown, then you got two of them. And but you're not going to sign Hollywood Brown after next year.
Probably not. Unless he's amazing next year.
The market's going to dictate he's going to get some cash.
Probably, yeah.
That's what the market's going to say.
So.
And if you have Xavier Worthy at that point, think, oh, we got our guy. We already got our guy going forward that's just like Hollywood Brown. But if you bring Hollywood Brown has never really ran an official 40 at the combine. It was like 4.27. He did have that Liz Frank, so he was a pro day. You know, people are coming up with the pro day number and the 40 and stuff. I don't think he even competed in his pro day because he was supposed to miss that and the combine. But anyway, it's been rumored, you know, in the 4.2s is where he runs. Well, I mean, you think of Xavier Worthy in 4.21. That's some Legion of Zoom stuff the Chiefs would have if they draft Xavier Worthy in the first round.
And they value speed and guys like that. So to me, it's like they're going to get someone who is of that ilk. I think the guys you want to look at, obviously Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell, Tez Walker. Those are the guys I'm looking at because they're the guys, sub 4.4 guys, maybe Ladd, but Ladd's not a deep threat guy. He's an underneath catch and run.
Brian Thomas, you have to move up for.
Yeah. And the thing is, with a little bit of ammunition,
but if he slips into the 20s,
with a little bit of ammunition, you might be able to go get him.
If he gets past the Saints, picking like what, 14 or 15?
14, 15.
If he gets away,
if he gets past the Bengals, that's 18, where you look at him.
If Bowers is still there, that's where Bengals are going.
If I think,
or offensive line, the Bengals desperately need offensive
line. They
need a line
hell bad. I think though, if I'm looking at the Bengals, if Brian Thomas Jr. makes it past 18, if I'm the Chiefs, I'm calling the Rams immediately and doing what I can to go and move up and get him. Because I'll say this, I like all those other guys, but Brian Thomas Jr., that of the guys in that first round that would be available in that late teen position, that guy right there is a guy that he really piques my interest because he's a guy that he's got the size you like. You know, he's 6'2". and you know, he's got good catch radius, good length. Runs a, what did he ran a 4.34, 4.33, something like that.
He mentioned ran a 4.34. Xavier Worthy 4.21. Brian Thomas 4.33.
Yeah, so it's like you got speed and you got size, and he is able to stretch the field. He's great down the field catching the ball. Great, he's going to be able to catch it over most of these DBs in the league. Like, I think he gives you a lot of what you don't have on your roster. He's basically like if Marquez Valdes-Scantling could catch. Like, if he could catch, he's like T. Higgins. Like, my comp is T. Higgins, and I think that that is where I would be looking at if I were the Chiefs. If you really wanted to just be like, hey, we're going to go all in. We got Rashi on 3 more years left. Let's go get a first-round guy that could be a true number one, and we're set now for years. We don't have to pay these guys for at least 3 more years. We're good to go. That's what I think.
And just looking at draft partners, the Rams at 19. Now, that's one Chad Ryder has the Chiefs trading for Xavier Worthy.
Correct. And I think that's the juicy one.
Rams
right there
would do business with the Chiefs.
I think so.
The Steelers at 20. They're not doing business because they showed you with Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, they already showed you with the Chiefs.
The Dolphins, not doing business with the Chiefs at 21. Philadelphia Eagles at 22, maybe.
Possibly.
I could see the Howie Roseman doing business with the Vikings at 23. I don't think the Vikings are going to be picking there because I think they're going to package this for a quarterback.
I think they're going to trade up, but I think
whoever they trade up with, they trade up with Washington or whatever, they could maybe do business with the Chiefs. 24 is Dallas. They proved that last year. They're not doing business with you.
27, though. That's the
Green
pick
Bay,
I look at.
25, maybe. Tampa at 26, maybe.
27
is the one I'd earmark. That's the Cardinals. That would move the Chiefs up 5 picks.
Yeah, you jump ahead of the Bills at 28. And
again, which would be hilarious.
Which would be hilarious.
Your McDuffie deal.
Especially if you go get your receiver before the Bills do. And I don't think you'd have to spend nearly as much, I think, a lot of people would think, because you're talking about late first round picks, and the Cardinals need a lot of picks because they have a terrible roster. So you can move up 5 spots. You don't have to move as much. You could probably move that Titans pick you just got for next year, third round, and you're in good position, I think, for the draft.
I think the Chiefs pick number 32 is more valuable than it was last year. This is a better draft than it was last year in Kansas City.
Yeah, I think so.
Better draft, and you're sitting there at 32. Okay, what could happen? What if Michael Penix is still remaining out there? And the Chiefs are sitting out there going, okay, well, 32, come get him. Because that 32 becomes valuable in a good deep draft, which rounds are a deep, deep draft. But all of a sudden you're sitting there at 32, you can get ahead of the game. You can get ahead of the game, the teams that are picking in the second round. You get ahead of that at 32. Could they package and have another second rounder? If they don't have 7 receivers, which would tie the record, the 0-4 record for most receivers, in the Chiefs' value, okay, if we can get somebody in the top 5 or 6 picks in the second round, we'll trade back. Because right now they're picking at the end of the second round. So if they could get something in the top 5 of the second round, that becomes more valuable. Chris, let me jump in here real quick. By the way, thanks for listening on this Saturday. Hope you're downloading and subscribing to the Character Concerns podcast.
Please do. We appreciate it.
We release it every Tuesday. I'll go on Fesco in the morning as well during the week and kind of recap things, what we're going to have. But I will say this. Starting in April is busy time for Chris and I. The 3rd, the 11th, and 18th, we'll have draft specials. 3-hour draft specials starting at 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock to talk draft and Kansas City draft and bringing on draft experts. Matter of fact, we have Matt McMullen of the Chiefs coming in on the 18th already. Then with the draft, the 25th, we'll be announcing it within a couple days here. We're gonna where the draft party is. And we'll be doing like 5 hours or more plus of coverage.
We're going to do the whole first round. So however long it takes, that's what we're going to do.
It's going to be 5+ hours of coverage on Friday night because the Royals play in the afternoon. It affords us here at 6:10 to be able to do it. You and I are doing 4 hours on Saturday, where in the past we've had a lot of coaches of these draft picks come on and talk to us. We have a 4-hour show set up. Then we have a 2.5-hour recap of the draft on Sunday, which will be a ton of fun when all the picks are made. So April, busy draft time. For Chris and I, and we're going to keep this thing going. We'll go past the draft as well. Yeah. We'll keep you updated to the rookie minicamps and stuff like this, like we did last year, because this has been going for over a year. But regardless, I'm excited because I think this is wide receiver time, and I'm not backing off of it.
Yeah,
I know some people, Chris, have been talking about, well, the Chiefs back off wide receiver now. I don't know where I'm sitting. I'm sitting with drafting a wide receiver still in the first round.
Yeah, I am too. So, but
we're together on that.
Here's my take on, like, how some of these mock drafts are, and it's really confusing here. First and foremost, you know how I just made a distinction between right tackle and left tackle when I named those tackles, right? This is a big problem, I think, with a lot of these mocks, is that a lot of these guys are drafting right tackles to the Chiefs, as you brought up. And, you know, my thing is like, well, what are they going to play? Because you signed Juwan Taylor. You still have two more years of Juwan Taylor.
Juwan's your right tackle.
He's your guy. Unless you're going to move him to the left side.
Which you don't want to do that.
But you don't want to do that because you had the opportunity to do it last year and you chose to sign Donovan Smith, a guy in his
30s. Footwork, obviously. Because obviously you saw how he struggled with his footwork anyway when he was a right tackle's national position. You can trust that on the left side?
Yeah. Like, he's a right tackle.
Yeah.
Like, we thought when he signed him, he was going to be left tackle. He's not. He's their right tackle. So now you're talking about moving a Tyler Guyton over to the left side and having him play if you take him in the first round. You know how many, just guess. Don't look on your phone or anything, Bink. Guess how many snaps did Tyler Guyton play at left tackle in 2023 for the
2023,
Oklahoma Sooners?
He played, was it one game? It wasn't any more than one game.
So how many snaps? Just take a guess.
45.
74.
74.
74. His whole time there.
I know he played that one game.
That's not true. It was not in 23. That was his entire career at Oklahoma.
But he's the right tackle. That's where he did. But Jordan
74,
Morgan.
74 snaps.
Yep.
How many snaps do you think Wanye Morris played when he was at Oklahoma at left tackle? Remember, mind you, he was the starting right tackle. How many snaps do you think in his 2 years at Oklahoma?
None.
84.
Because he played left tackle at Tennessee.
In his career in college, he has over 1,000 snaps at left tackle between
Tennessee
and Oklahoma. Almost 1,000 of those.
And Oklahoma, he's the backup right tackle his first year.
Yes. So think about that. This is a guy who would come in and you would move him over to left tackle, a position he's played less snaps than the guy he would be replacing in Wanye Morris. But you're going to tell me that guy is going to be the starting left tackle for the team? Like, come on now.
Jordan Morgan's the one that you read and he's been, slotted to the Chiefs. Four times he was mocked in the 40 mocks that you had to the Chiefs. Jordan Morgan's a starter at left tackle.
Fashanu's a left tackle.
But his arm length is smaller.
Yes.
Like, some guys might do it, but a lot of NFLers, you better have 34-inch arms or we're not going to mess with
it. Generally 33. Like, generally it's at least 33.
But Reed's higher than that even.
Yeah, he prefers it to be higher, minimum 33.
He's a guard, but if you say, okay, Jordan Morgan come in here as a guard, because a lot of people think, okay, this can be a guard in the NFL.
Yeah, but you're not drafting a guard
in the first round. No, you're not drafting a guard in the first round, but if you're worried about Trey Smith going forward, then you get a Jordan Morgan.
Yeah.
But I don't see sitting at the end of the first round. Listen, the record for tackles is 7 in the first round in 2008. There's going to be tackles flying off the board. But is it good enough to start? I think you can get a better quality receiver at 32 than you can tackle, because if you get a tackle, it's going to be someone that's primarily played on the right side, like an Amarius Mims that had one game where he played tackle. That's where you're going to get is a right tackle at 32.
Yes.
And you want him to guard the blind side of Mahomes?
Yeah,
I don't think people take this into account.
Yeah, Tyler Guyton, Amarius Mims, right? I don't think Amarius Mims played any.
And he played one game on the left side.
He might have played one game on the left side for his entire career at Georgia. But you're going to tell me that guy's going to move over to left tackle versus a guy who took over 1,000 snaps at left tackle in college in Wanye Morris? Like, come on. And that's my thing about the mock drafts. Like, I like looking at them just because I like to see like where the value is, because a lot of these guys do have some insider tips and knowledge about it. But some of these guys are just making mock drafts on PFF or, Draft Network or wherever the hell they're doing them, and they don't know what they're doing. And it's like, that's the reason why, like, anybody who's mocking Tyler Guyton or Amarius Mims to the Chiefs in the first round, like, I disregard that immediately.
Can they be left tackles eventually? Yes.
Maybe. But, like, they're not going to do it. Oh, like, you already have Wanye. Wanye played more snaps at left tackle than those guys did. Most of those guys did in college.
Here's the one thing about Amarius Mims, stud. But he did only start 6-7 games because he was hurt.
Yeah, and he played behind Broderick Jones.
It's Brock Bowers. Same injury. And the year before, he was just a reserve offensive lineman. So those are got to be concerns to have that one-year production. You don't have that 20 starts that a lot of people look at in the NFL as far as a good barometer of which direction to go.
Yeah, I just think that like reading these mocks, like if you want to take Patrick Paul and mock him to the Chiefs in the first round, makes sense. He's a left tackle. Jordan Morgan, I mean, again, shorter arms, you know, we'll see. They have had some shorter arm tackles out there. Andrew Wiley was shorter armed. Mike Rimmers was a shorter arm guy. Those guys, I think, were both under 32 or 33 because they were guards that moved out to tackle. So, like, it's not unprecedented that they would have shorter guys like that, but, like, they're not going to draft that guy. Like, when they had the option to do that in 21, they traded their first-round pick to go get Orlando Brown Jr.
I could see the Chiefs going with Wanye, and I could see Donovan Smith ending up back here in 100%. Kansas City.
That's what I think they do. I think Donovan Smith comes back, and they got the beginning a little more of the cap year room.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't even know if Donovan even starts.
They could fight over the business, but Donovan's there, and he let that neck rest all offseason, and he's there to start if you need him to start during the postseason or whatever. But Donovan's still young enough that he could start, but I do see the Chiefs bringing Donovan back.
I see it too, and I think it's probably Wanye's job, and then Donovan is going to be the insurance.
Wanye got four. Again, I thought he was a key to this last year's draft class because he had four starts.
Me too.
Like, okay, did the Chiefs do that, or they look someone 32? But I'm not sure at 32 you get that left tackle. Listen, tackles are going in the first round. We know that, but the left tackles are going early.
Yes.
Your alts of the world are going early.
Like, Olufoshanu is not going to be there at 32. No. I know the whoever was that mocked him. Like, I don't see Olufoshanu there at 32. It'd be great. And that's the only guy I would take at left tackle at 32 is if Fashanu were there. Again, that's like a George Karloftis type pick where he's way undervalued. He's falling for whatever reason, and you go and scoop him up immediately because he's a pick at a position that you could use a guy at. But to me, I'd rather just go and see what you got with Wanye. You moved him over to the left side for a reason because, again, remember, he was a right tackle when he was at Oklahoma, even though he does have over 1,000 snaps at left tackle in his college career. But they trusted him enough to play him as a rookie at left tackle. So, I understand it's not the sexy pick, and I understand there's some concerns because he did get beat. But I think what I saw was promising, and I think that the Chiefs are very much about maximizing value. And if you can take a third round pick at tackle and be able to get him as your starting left tackle, that's an Andy Reid move. That's a Brett Veach move.
This receiver room, they signed Marquise Brown. The philosophy of, they're fine at wide receiver. They're not. You got to build a wide receiver room. You got to think about the future. You draft somebody at 32. You got him for 5 years because you always had that fifth-year option with him. In the wide receiver market right now, it's best to get on them when they're young and you're not paying them a ton like that second contract. I'm staying a wide receiver because I think you get better value at 32 at receiver than you can at offensive line.
So it brings us to the
offensive line's great.
It's great. You're fine. I think you should get a guard. I think you should get a guard somewhere on like day 2, day 3.
These receivers week 2, but, 3, yeah. 4, 5.
And so now it brings us to question like draft strategy now with the Snead trade and how you're going to, because right now you look at the Chiefs, they don't really have a lot of needs. Like, they could use some insurance at left tackle. They don't need a left tackle.
House money a little bit.
Yeah.
I felt last year was the house money draft.
Yeah, well, I think now this is really the house money draft. Because, like, last year you could say they could really use a wide receiver. They needed a wide receiver.
I still think wide receivers need it. Because right now you got Brown, you got Rice, you got two different guys, two different styles. Throw somebody else in. Will they grab another veteran receiver, like a Hunter Renfro or somebody like that? Maybe. But they still need to draft that playmaking wide receiver in the first round. Give Mahomes and Camp Pat the weapons, because Brown's already down there working at Camp Pat.
I would love to get Hunter Renfro as a Justin Watson type signing.
Well, the Royals already have him. Different one.
I'd love to get Hunter Renfro there. I would love him on that roster. Like, Renfro is a very good wide receiver for the Raiders, so that'd be great to get. I think right now, because you don't have as many needs, now it's a lot more likely you move up in the first round. I think for sure. I think even second round, you could make a case. Like, let's say that like an A.D. Mitchell or Xavier Worthy's there at 32 or approaching that range. I think you certainly consider moving up ahead of the Bills for sure. But I also think now,
because they're going receiver, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you lose Gabe Davis and you haven't really made any big signings. You signed Curtis Samuel for too much money. I think if you're the Chiefs, you now have justification to be aggressive in trying to go up and get talent. And they've done a really good job at drafting. I certainly expect that third day is going to be a day where they really take some shots and get a little sexy with some Joshua Kando type guys. B.J. Thompson type guys. I expect they'll do that. But I think this year is the perfect year to be
in the second round. You get ahead of that at 32. Could they package and have another second rounder? If they don't have seven receivers, which would tie the record, the 04 record for most receivers, and the Chiefs value, okay, if we can get somebody in the top five or six picks in the second round, we'll trade back. Because right now they're picking at the end of the second round. So if they could get something in the top five of the second round, that becomes more valuable. Chris, let me jump in here real quick. By the way, thanks for listening on this Saturday. Hope you're downloading and subscribing to the Character Concerns
Please
podcast.
Do. We appreciate it.
We release it every Tuesday. I'll go on Fesco in the morning as well during the week and kind of recap things, what we're going to have. But I will say this. Starting in April is busy time for Chris and I. The 3rd, the 11th, and 18th, we'll have draft specials. 3-hour draft special starting at 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock to talk draft and Kansas City draft and bringing on draft experts. Matter of fact, we have Matt McMullen of the Chiefs coming in on the 18th already. Then with the draft, the 25th, we'll be announcing it within a couple days here. We're gonna where the draft party is. And we'll be doing like 5 hours or more plus of coverage.
We're going to do the whole first round. So however long it takes, that's what we're going to do.
It's going to be 5-plus hours of coverage on Friday night because the Royals play in the afternoon. It affords us here at 6:10 to be able to do it. You and I are doing 4 hours on Saturday, where in the past we've had a lot of coaches of these draft picks come on and talk to us. We have a 4-hour show set up. Then we have a 2.5-hour recap of the draft on Sunday, which will be a ton of fun when all the picks are made. So April, busy draft time. For Chris and I, and we're going to keep this thing going. We'll go past the draft as well. Yeah. We'll keep you updated through the rookie minicamps and stuff like this, like we did last year, because this has been going for over a year. But regardless, I'm excited because I think this is wide receiver time, and I'm not backing off of it.
Yeah,
I know some people, Chris, have been talking about, the Chiefs back off wide receiver now. I don't know where I'm sitting. I'm sitting with drafting a wide receiver still in the first round.
Yeah, I am too. So, but
we're together on that.
Here's my take on, how some of these mock drafts are, and it's really confusing here. First and foremost, I just made a distinction between right tackle and left tackle when I named those tackles, right? This is a big problem, I think, with a lot of these mocks, is that a lot of these guys are drafting right tackles to the Chiefs, as you brought up. And, my thing is what are they going to play? Because you signed Juwan Taylor. You still have two more years of Juwan Taylor.
Juwan's your right tackle. He's
your guy. Unless you're going to move him to the left side.
Which you don't want to do that.
But you don't want to do that because you had the opportunity to do it last year and you chose to sign Donovan Smith, a guy in his
30s. Footwork, obviously. Because obviously you saw how he struggled with his footwork anyway when he was a right tackle's national position. You can trust that on the left side?
Yeah. He's a right tackle.
Yeah.
We thought when he signed him, he was going to be left tackle. He's not. He's their right tackle. So now you're talking about moving a Tyler Guyton over to the left side and having him play if you take him in the first round. Just guess. Don't look on your phone or anything, Bink. Guess how many snaps did Tyler Guyton play at left tackle in 2023 for the
2023,
Oklahoma Sooners?
He played, was it one game? It wasn't any more than one game. So
how many snaps? Just take a guess.
45.
74. His whole time there.
I know he played that one game.
That's not true. It was not in 23. That was his entire career at Oklahoma.
But he's a right tackle. That's where he did it. But Jordan
74,
Morgan.
74 snaps.
Yep.
How many snaps do you think Wanya Morris played when he was at Oklahoma at left tackle? Mind you, he was the starting right tackle. How many snaps do you think in his 2 years at Oklahoma?
None.
84.
Because he played left tackle at Tennessee.
In his career in college, he has over 1,000 snaps at left tackle between
Tennessee
and Oklahoma. A lot of those, almost 1,000 of those.
Oklahoma, he's the backup right tackle his first year.
Yes. So think about that. This is a guy who would come in and you would move him over to left tackle, a position he's played less snaps than the guy he would be replacing in Wanya Morris. But you're going to tell me that guy is going to be the starting left tackle for the team? Come on now.
Jordan Morgan's the one that you read and he's been, slotted to the Chiefs. Four times he was mocked in the 40 mocks that you had to the Chiefs. Jordan Morgan's a starter at left tackle.
He's a left tackle.
It's original, but
Fashawn, who's a left tackle.
But his arm length is smaller.
Yes.
Like, some guys might do it, but a lot of NFLers, you better have 34-inch arms or we're not going to mess
generally
with
it. Generally 33. Like, generally it's at least 33.
But Reed's higher than that even.
Yeah, he prefers it to be higher,
34
but
and a quarter
minimum,
is his average.
Minimum 33.
He's a guard, but if you say, okay, Jordan Morgan coming here as a guard, because a lot of people think, okay, this can be a guard in the NFL.
Yeah, but you're not drafting a guard
which
in the
you
first
can
round.
Be. No, you're not drafting a guard in the first round, but if you're worried about Trey Smith going forward, then you get a Jordan Morgan.
Yeah.
But I don't see sitting at the end of the first round. Listen, the record for tackles is 7 in the first round in 2008. There's going to be tackles flying off the board. But is it good enough to start? I think you can get a better quality receiver at 32 than you can tackle, because if you get a tackle, it's going to be someone that's primarily played on the right side, like an Amarius Mims that had one game where he played tackle. That's where you're going to get is a right tackle at 32.
Yes.
And you want him to guard the blind side of Mahomes?
Yeah,
is that
a position that a guy like Tyler Guyton?
I don't think people take this into account.
Yeah, Tyler Guyton, Amarius Mims, right? I don't think Amarius Mims played any.
Like he played one game on the left side.
He might have played one game on the left side for his entire career at Georgia. But you're gonna tell me that guy's gonna move over to left tackle versus a guy who took over 1,000 snaps at left tackle in college in Wanya Morris? Like, come on. And that's my thing about the mock drafts. Like, I like looking at them just because I like to see like where the value is, because a lot of these guys do have some insider tips and knowledge about it. But some of these guys are just making mock drafts on PFF or, you know, Draft Network or wherever the hell they're doing them, and they don't know what they're doing. And it's like, that's the reason why, like, anybody who's mocking Tyler Guyton or Amarius Mims to the Chiefs in the first round, like, I disregard that immediately.
Can they be left tackles eventually? Yes.
Maybe. But, like, they're not going to do it. Oh, like you already have Wanya. Wanya played more snaps at left tackle than those guys did. Most of those guys did.
And here's
college.
The one thing about Amarius Mims, stud, but he did only start 6-7 games because he was hurt.
Yeah, and he played behind Broderick Jones.
It's Brock Bowers, same injury. And the year before, he was just a reserve offensive lineman. So those are got to be concerns to have that 1 year production. You don't have that 20 starts that a lot of people look at in the NFL as far as a good barometer of which direction to go.
Yeah, I just think that like reading these mocks, like if you want to take Patrick Paul and mock him to the Chiefs in the first round, makes sense. He's a left tackle. You know, Jordan Morgan, I mean, again, shorter arms, you know, we'll see. They have had some shorter arm tackles out there. Andrew Wiley was shorter armed. Mike Rimmers was a shorter arm guy. Those guys, I think, were both under 32 or 33 because they were guards that moved out to tackle. So, like, it's not unprecedented that they would have shorter guys like that, but, like, they're not going to draft that guy. Like, when they had the option to do that in 21, they traded their first-round pick to go get Orlando Brown Jr.
I could see the Chiefs going with Wanya, and I could see Donovan Smith ending up back here in
100%.
Kansas City.
That's what I think they do. I think Donovan Smith comes back, and
he starts
and they
the beginning
more
of the year.
And, to be honest, I don't even know if Donovan even starts.
They could fight over the business, but Donovan's there, and he let that neck rest all offseason, and then he's there to start if you need him to start during the postseason or whatever. But Donovan's still young enough that he could start, but I do see the Chiefs bringing Donovan back.
I see it too, and I think it's probably Wanye's job, and then Donovan is going to be the insurance.
Wanya got four. Again, I thought he was a key to this last year's draft class because he had four starts.
Me too.
Like, okay, did the Chiefs do that, or did they look someone 32? But I'm not sure at 32 you get that. Left tackle, listen, tackles are going in the first round. We know that. But the left tackles are going early.
Yes.
Your alts of the world are going early.
Like, Olufoshan is not going to be there at 32. No. I know whoever was that mocked him. Like, I don't see Olufoshan there at 32. It would be great. And that's the only guy I would take at left tackle at 32 is if Fashanu over there. Again, that's like a George Karloftis type pick where he's way undervalued. He's falling for whatever reason, and you go and scoop him up immediately because he's a pick at a position that you could use a guy at. But to me, I'd rather just go and see what you got with Wanya. You moved him over to the left side for a reason, because again, remember, he was a right tackle when he was at Oklahoma, even though he does have over 1,000 snaps at left tackle in his college career. But they trusted him enough to play him as a rookie at left tackle. So, I understand it's not the sexy pick, and I understand there's some concerns because he did get beat. But I think what I saw was promising, and I think that the Chiefs are very much about maximizing value. And if you can take a third round pick at tackle and be able to get him as your starting left tackle, that's an Andy Reid move. That's a Brett Veach move.
This receiver room, yeah, they signed Marquise Brown. The philosophy of, oh, they're fine at wide receiver. They're not. You got to build a wide receiver room. You got to think about the future. You draft somebody at 32. You got him for 5 years because you always had that fifth-year option with him. In the wide receiver market right now, it's best to get on them when they're young and you're not paying them a ton like that second contract. I'm staying a wide receiver because I think you get better value at 32 at receiver than you can at offensive line.
So it brings us to the
offensive line's great.
It's great. You're fine. I think you should get a guard. Somewhere on like day two, day three.
These receivers, week two, but, three, yeah. Four, five.
And so now it brings us to question like draft strategy now with the Snead trade and how you're going to, because right now you look at the Chiefs, they don't really have a lot of needs. Like they could use some insurance at left tackle. They don't need a left tackle.
House money a little bit.
Yeah.
I felt last year was the house money draft.
Yeah, well, I think now this is really the house money draft. Because like last year, you could say they could really use a wide receiver. They needed a wide receiver.
I still think wide receivers need it. Because right now you got Brown, you got Rice, you got two different guys, two different styles. Throw somebody else in. Will they grab another veteran receiver like a Hunter Renfro or somebody like that? Maybe. But they still need to draft that playmaking wide receiver in the first round. Give Mahomes and Camp Pat the weapons because Brown's already down there working at Camp Pat.
I would love to get Hunter Renfro as a Justin Watson type signing.
Well, the Royals already have him.
Yeah,
different one.
I'd love to get Hunter Renfro there. I would love him on that roster. Like Renfro was a very good wide receiver for the Raiders, so that'd be great to get. I think right now because you don't have as many needs, now it's a lot more likely you move up in the first round. I think for sure. I think even second round, you could make a case. Like, let's say that like an A.D. Mitchell or Xavier Worthy's there at 32 or approaching that range. I think you certainly consider moving up ahead of the Bills for sure. But I also think now,
because they're going receiver, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you lose Gabe Davis and you haven't really made any big signings. You signed Curtis Samuel for too much money. I think if you're the Chiefs, you now have justification to be aggressive in trying to go up and get talent. And they've done a really good job at drafting. I certainly expect that third day is going to be a day where they really take some shots and get a little sexy with some Joshua Kando type guys, BJ Thompson type guys. I expect they'll do that. But I think this year is the perfect year to be aggressive and go and make some moves so that you can get a little bit more out of these picks. Because picking late at the end of every one of these rounds, aside from compensatory picks, is really, really tough.
In the round two, it is loaded with Chiefs potential.
The second and third rounds, I think, are great.
Also, trade partners. Carolina Panthers have picked 33, right at the first pick of the second round. Then the Patriots, the Cardinals, the Commanders. Chargers, you're not doing business with the Chargers. The Titans, they've done that business with them now before.
Yeah, they have. It's certainly possible.
Carolina Panthers and then Washington Commanders again. So what I'm saying is the trade partners are there for the beginning of round two. Not the Chargers, but the rest of them are.
I think ideally you kind of do what you did with Rashi last year.
But teams that need receivers. The Commanders do need a receiver now that Curtis Samuel's gone.
And I don't think that they're going to trade with teams that need receivers. I think more than likely middle second round, if they really like it, like let's say Darius Robinson falls to like middle second round, I would not be shocked if like that's where they get aggressive and move up and go get a guy like that. Or maybe they like a Arukurororo from Clemson, defensive tackle. Maybe they go and get him, or they like Braden Fisk and they do that just to get another like gamer on that defensive line. I think that's kind of where you get aggressive is, or maybe they double dip a wide receiver.
Well, defensive line definitely switched with the Chiefs when they start bringing people back, and we might see Dana come back with the Chiefs now that they got the extra money.
Yeah, I would love
to do it.
That's a signing I think would be excellent. But is bringing
Pinnell's back and Nottie's back.
They got five DTs right now.
They're bringing back the crew.
Yes.
And so things change a little bit with what they do with philosophy. I'm two pass catchers. Whether you say, okay, Luke McCaffrey that I had mocked, I think, in the fifth. Or mocked.
Yeah.
You know, that's pass catcher. You get two pass catchers. I think we had three in our mock because we had Johnny Wilson of Florida State in the second round as well. So we had pass catcher, and then another pass catcher in the third, which is fine. Yeah. I'm okay with that. If two are a receiver and one's a tight end, I wouldn't go three receivers. I would do two. I'm doing minimum two receivers in this draft. Me too. Hands down.
I think tight end's probably less likely just because of the signing with Irv Smith, unless they decide to get four tight ends, but I don't see that happening. I think they're probably going to be a three tight end team, and I think you're really going to be looking at your wide receiving core, and you get a couple guys there, so you got a couple guys on rookie contracts, and then you know, you get them some time to develop the first. And here's the great thing about it is like, there's going to be no pressure for them to go out there and kill it this year. They can learn the system. They can go to Camp Pat. They can develop. Then they learn the system some more. And then going into 25, that's when expectations happen, you know, provided the Chiefs don't bring back a Hollywood Brown. So
Camp Pat's currently going, baby.
It's currently going right now.
Rice down there. Marquise Brown.
Hollywood Brown.
There's only ones, two that I know that are down there.
That we know are down there, but they'll probably end up being some more. Wouldn't be shocked if
probably
they had
sneaking in Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, actually, wouldn't be shocked if they had both Texas receivers there.
That's the place to be if you're a reporter looking to just wait in your car outside Camp Pat.
Right. I actually would not be shocked if they had both Worthy and AD there, and you just kind of roll
Texas
with that,
kids, man. These are Texas kids.
Yeah.
Mahomes, Texas guy.
I mean, you know, they'll just make the drive up there from Austin to Dallas. And
she rides,
see what
Texas
you got there.
Guy.
Yeah. There's going to be some options there. I think this is a great situation for the Chiefs to be in. Hollywood Brown certainly makes the draft a lot easier now. And, you know, now that you've kind of figured out the Sneed situation, you created a little cap room, you can sign some guys to some one-year deals and see what you do. But like I said, I'm really excited about the way that this draft's gonna go, and I'm really excited about how the offseason now is going to play out over the next
Chiefs
month.
Have been great for people drafting them rookie. They understand. They just tell them. They're also great for the one-year deals.
Yes.
This is a good prove-it team when you have Mahomes as quarterback.
Yeah, this is a great chance to go
for rookies
out there
to build up numbers, stats.
Rashee
Rice is going to build up stats. I mean, this is a great spot to end up to build numbers.
So next week, we're going to do our very first post-NFL season first round mock draft. We're going to do a complete 32 pick first round mock draft. This will be our mock draft 1.5. And then after that, we are going to obviously keep you updated on all the happenings in free agency with the Chiefs, any rumors going around the draft. We certainly have some stuff to talk about next week as far as quarterbacks go, because there's a lot of rumors going around. Some of these guys are sliding up. So we'll talk about that. Make sure you download, subscribe, give us 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts. We appreciate it. For Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Ocero. We will catch you guys again next week.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.